Technorama episode 397 for February 5th, 2014, The Sunny Side of the Sun.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I need more bad chemistry jokes because all the good ones are gone.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for February 5th, 2014. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening, welcome. Thank you for joining us. If you're a return listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm fantastic, Chuck.
Oh, we got to fire another writer, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've used that one about 12 times.
Oh.
Actually, I'm fine.
12?
I'm fighting Super Bowl boredom.
Boredom?
Yeah.
Well, this comes out on Wednesday, but we record them on Sunday nights.
Yeah.
And, the Super Bowl was a bit of a blowout, at least when we left at the end of the first quarter to start recording, or third quarter to start recording. Fourth. I got in the studio at the beginning of the fourth quarter. I can count.
Okay. Well, that's a plus. Actually, I went and watched some of the videos on YouTube. Commercials rather.
Yep.
And there's some okay ones. I wouldn't say there's any blowouts.
Yeah, as Super Bowl ad years go, usually there's one or two that's very creative and a handful that are pretty good and the rest are, you know, all right. I'm struggling this year.
I would say pre-2008 when the stock market crashed, I think those were the really good years. It's kind of, you know.
Audi had their Dober Wawa dogs. Kia had the Matrix with Lawrence Fishburne. That was pretty good. I kind of like that one. And Doritos had the Time Machine. Those are probably my top three up there.
The Time Machine one was funny with the kid that was kicking the box and the guys. Yeah. That was funny.
You should have painted it like a TARDIS.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You know, the only movie ones that I like, I like the Muppets one. I'm looking forward to the Muppets.
The Muppets was funny.
Yeah, because I love that line where he says, across the internet, critics have seen most of the commercials for this film. Because they're all whatever they're saying about it. I think the Captain America Winter Soldier looks off the hook from what I've seen. And trailer wise,
I don't know. I kind of tuned out most of the movie ad ones, the trailers, because I was getting a little numb to the dubstep music.
Maybe. Like, but the Winter Soldier, I think, looks fantastic.
Transformers.
The Transformers. I wasn't too jazzed about the first Spider-Man reincarnation here, but I have to say the ads for the second one here has me a little more intrigued, so I'm looking forward to that a little bit more.
Let's talk more about the movies and things when we get to the media corner. Why don't we? We have coming up in this episode: single server cookie maker. I almost thought that said something about Wookiees. Is Vader or isn't Vader Luke's dad? The custody suit continues, and mapping out the internet.
I have not tried this yet, so this is an untested product.
Anything smart, we're getting rid of it. Download them all, which I like. Platypus, Sapare, and The Wiz. And you look under the word geek in the dictionary, and you'll see us there.
Really?
Yes.
You did this to me!
Please hang up and try again.
This is Adam Savage from Mythbusters, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Welcome back. We have feedback from listener Ben. Listening make sure this is all panned over correctly. Yes, it is. Okay. Because I do other recordings on this studio, and I got to tweak the mixer a little bit, and I don't have one of those kind that has a memory on it.
Hmm.
Listener Ben writes in. He said, I was listening to the latest Technorama. Must make a small correction. Orcs are a subgroup of goblins. Ah, we were talking about The Hobbit and how there were no quote-unquote orcs in The Hobbit, but yet the white orc is chasing Bilbo around.
So I was correct.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, thank. Vindicated.
Subspecies.
Yes, I'm vindicated.
Okay, well, if you think so.
Let me have my moment.
There you go.
Yeah.
A moment is just one of those things in physics.
Yeah.
All right, turn that way. Yeah, that way. Okay, let's do the history thing.
Okay.
On this day in history for February 5th, 2014, this is the 36th day of the year. There are 329 days remaining in 2014. It was on this date in 1900 that the United States and the United Kingdom signed a treaty for the Panama Canal.
And that same date in 1909, Belgian chemist Leo Bakewood announces the creation of the Bakelite, the world's first Bakelite. The world's first synthetic plastic. Round,
brittle plastic stuff that old radios and things used to be made out of?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he made. Charlie Chaplin, Mary Pickford, Douglas Fairbanks, and D.W. Griffith launch United Artists today on February 5th, 1919.
Hmm. And in 1924, the Royal Greenwich Observatory begins broadcasting the hourly time signals known as the Greenwich Time Signal. No secret there. Or the BBC Pips 90 years ago today.
That should be Greenwich, by the way.
Yeah.
They'll know your accent now. Today in 1958, a hydrogen bomb known as the Tybee Bomb is lost by the U.S. Air Force off the coast of Savannah, Georgia.
Oops.
Never to be recovered.
Wait, I think they actually found it again. Anyway, and 43 years ago today, astronauts land on the moon. Yay! Apollo 14 mission.
Yay! To reclaim from Apollo 13. Happy birthday goes out on this date to Gaspar Schacht, German mathematician, born on this date in 1608.
And William S. Burroughs would have been 100 years old. I read this and I thought, totally got this. He was 100 years, he would have been 100 years old today.
Happy birthday to Chinese computer scientist Wang Xuan, born February 5th, 1937.
And the man behind such TV shows as The A-Team, Riptide, 21 Jump Street, Baba Black Sheep, Beretta, Adam 12, Columbo, and many, many more. Stephen J. Cannell was born today in 1941.
He has a lot of writing to his
credit. No kidding.
Actress Barbara Hershey turned 66.
And finally, the man who created the Live Journal, Brad Fitzpatrick, is 34 today.
And that's the way it was on this day in history for February 5th, 2014. Let's just let the music play out. There's only like four people left in the marching band.
Yeah.
Here they go. It's the finishing bar.
There you go. Hey, by the way, little known fact, my middle name is Douglas, and actually it comes from Douglas Fairbanks.
Or Douglas Fairbanks Jr.
Fairbanks Sr. Because it is actually a middle name that started in my family quite a while back. Yes. When Douglas Fairbanks Sr. was an actor, of course. Well, both of them were, but
isn't Douglas your dad's name?
Yes, it is.
And so got it from your dad. Your dad got it from Douglas Fairbanks.
No, my dad got it from my grandfather, and I'm trying to remember from my great grandfather too. But yeah, grandfather.
Talk about used.
Well, Harrison's got it too.
Harrison Ford.
Yeah, no.
But your name isn't Harrison.
No, my son Harrison.
You don't, right? But he's not got a recycled name from a family member. He's got a recycled name from a movie star.
No, his name is also Douglas. Well, yeah, actually, he's got two.
Should have just called him Skywalker or something.
Yeah, you know what? What's funny is all these years, you know, I knew where my name come from, of course, but I started thinking, I'm going to see if there's any movies on there on Netflix from him. And sure enough, there's a few of them. He was more of a swashbuckler kind of actor. I don't know if you're familiar with him. So I'm going to check it out.
All right. I'm turning to the listener birthday calendar because we have a mess of them and we haven't done any in a few weeks, but I'm sorry. I can't go back in time without my DeLorean. Oh, wait, I did find the DeLorean you gave me.
Oh, it's
still in the package.
Wait. Back up.
Yes.
One of the commercials on the Super Bowl.
The Radio Shack ad.
That's the Radio Shack. I was going to say, hey, wait a minute. Plus points for them for having Alf in the DeLorean. That was.
And he had like, what was it? CRTs or something strapped to the back of the thing.
Yeah. Well,
I had a lot of detail in there. I'd like to go through.
I had to rewind it because I went, yep, they had Alf in the DeLorean, which I'll give him points for that.
Listener birthday calendar, February 7th. We have a couple birthdays. Chad W. Smith from Chattanooga and Brian the Big BS in Pennsylvania.
Hey, self-labeled at least, right?
February 8th, Jan Scott from Yorkshire, UK. Or did we ever settle this?
Let me go back and look at my email.
Before.
Jan, I think it's Jan.
Could be John. Could be Jan.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to have to let us know again. I'm sorry. We forgot your name again.
This is how we get listener feedback.
That's the only way is to make mistakes. February 8th is also Blake Noble. February 9th, podcast Mike Wills from Minnesota. February 10th, we also have two birthdays. We got a pair of sevens, a pair of eights, a pair of tens.
Hey, you almost got a full house there. Wait.
If I was playing poker, I'd be doing great with this birthday stuff.
Hey, you
Zach Agulian, who I just saw this morning.
Yeah, you almost have a full house there.
I'll wish him a happy birthday on Sunday.
Oh, you personally know Zach?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And Dre, he helps out with Sunday school every week.
Okay.
And Sherry from North Dakota, happy birthday to all you people, even if we can't spell or pronounce your name correctly. We very much appreciate you being part of the show, part of our calendar. And if it's not your birthday this week, if it is your birthday and you're not on the calendar, happy birthday. If it's not your birthday, come back when it is. Yeah. We'll settle that all out later.
Go put it on the wiki and we'll catch you next time.
Yeah, go to the wiki, chuckchat.com/wiki. Do you have to say /, or can you just say /?
I would say /, because I think most browsers just kind of pick it up, right?
Now, what drives me nuts is when they say /. I'm like,
Yeah.
I die a little every time somebody does that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not even old enough to remember DOS /. So
well, try. You know, some people, actually it would be a /. /.
Is on the key with the question mark.
That's right. And that's what I've had to tell people a lot. Because /// goes this way. A /// goes this way.
You know, they can't see that on an audio production.
Oh, well, just imagine, you know, whatever.
That /// is the way a dive flag goes, but if you're not a diver, that doesn't help. Okay, anyway, on with the news story.
Apparently, the /// and the /// aren't that clean cut.
I need a green button.
Bad news, everyone.
No, this isn't bad news. This is good news. Here's the thing about baking chocolate chip cookies. They're delicious.
Cookies.
Here's another thing. Unless you're a professional baker maestro who bakes a batch every day and tweaks their cookie recipe after every time to adjust the flavor, because, you know, continual service improvement is always a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hard to come up with the perfect chocolate chip cookie recipe. It's a numbers game. You just don't bake enough to figure out exactly what works and what doesn't. Not anymore. Ben Krasnow has made a machine that makes one cookie every time. It's got these little hoppers with the egg mixture in it and the flour and the sugar and chocolate chips. And you can program on your computer how much of each you want. And it will make one cookie with that recipe. So when you figure out the proper ratios, then you can make more. Now, the picture on this thing looks like these cookies are a little deformed and all a little overcooked. But hey, maybe this picture wasn't making the best cookies, but you can certainly try with his invention. And you know what? It's projects like this that get people pretty cool jobs, because when they hit the internet and somebody pays attention to them and goes, wow, this guy's got mechanical engineering expertise, probably got some software expertise.
That machine is actually looking, it looks pretty nice, the one he built.
I'm thinking you could always, you know, make a perfect bottle of beer too. What else could this guy be making?
You know what? If you can make the brew your own by the bottle, you could theoretically do that. You could tweak out 12 bottles and or enough for 5 gallons worth of wort to. I don't know. That'd be, I'd have to do some math on that, but that'd be interesting.
The thing is, it takes a few weeks to know if your beer actually worked or not. It only takes a few minutes to find out if your cookie did.
Well, the thing about it, when you make the wort part, you have to kind of let it sit for, like you said, 4 to 6 weeks or whatever, depending on the type. So you would have to, instead of have one big carboy full of unfermented beer, to several, you know, smaller ones, almost like for the individual. I don't know how that, I guess you could do it. Theoretically,
listen, you could. Craig throwing around the beer terms.
I brewed my own beer before.
Wort and carboys and whew.
It's good stuff. Well, anyway, I love the idea because I'm watching the video and I'm like, that's genius. You know, you can, because you know, you'll make a batch of cookies and you eat them. And it may be a week or two before you make another batch, but in the small doses,
yep,
you know, you can actually do samples, and that's amazing. It's actually a great idea. And yeah,
you could
make
just one or two for lunch.
And yeah, and by the way, I keep watching the animated GIF, expecting it to do something else, and I'm watching it.
It just keeps dumping flour in that little cup, and then it dumps more flour in the little cup.
Well, what's funny is I watched it and went, I was watching it like I was watching a video, and I did the same thing a few times and went, oh, wait, it's not going to do anything else. Stupid animated GIFs.
They got you.
Yeah. So you could theoretically do this with any kind of cookie, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose you could, you know, except ones that need time to, what, like sourdough cookies or something. No, that's not it. That'd be bread.
Yeah. I don't know if sourdough cookies, huh? Bread.
I got to sell my bread maker, that, now that you remind me. So we're working on that. We're finding all kinds of things to sell as we clean out the house and get ready for the move.
Oh, great. Here comes the plug.
No, I wasn't going to sell anything.
Go to appleton.craigslist.org.
Craigslist, and watch my Facebook page for more stuff.
Hey, you know what's funny? When Kim's mother was prepping to come out here from Bakersfield, California, she said, you know, they were posting things on Craigslist, like curb alerts, you know. So people, the same cars were just rotating the neighborhood, coming by to see if there was anything. And as soon as something hit the curb, they'd stop and they were digging through it.
Oh, wow.
Said it was a crazy thing. I know you're not unloading everything all at once, but she was. And it was amazing how much response they got out of the Craigslist.
Well, we've had to give everything a second thought, too, because things that haven't been valuable for years and years, may actually suddenly be valuable again. Like, we've got a bike rack that holds two bikes for the top of the car.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have a Honda Accord, and we bought a couple of nice, like 10-speed, not 10-speed, but there were 12 or 15 or whatever they were, 21-speed bikes.
21-speed.
And we rode them for a while. Then we had kids, and then we had more bikes, and this thing just kind of sat around. And we were thinking about selling it. We put it in the garage sale a few times, didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, we need to sell that on Craigslist. And I was just about to list, and I thought, wait a minute. We're going to an area that has bike riding, about 10 or 11 months out of the year.
Yeah.
And we're going back from 4 bicycles in the garage to 2, maybe 3 if, you know, we got a road bike and a mountain bike.
Sure.
So there really isn't a need to sell this thing. It may actually be more functional because you hop the car and you go 20 minutes north and you got some prime biking out there.
Wait a minute. How many months do you have for riding now in Wisconsin?
6, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, so, by the way, did I tell you about the 8 to 10?
Everything needs scrutinizing.
Did I tell you about the 8 to 10 centimeters of snow we got the other day?
8 to 10 centimeters. Yeah, ooh, crippling.
Hey,
Craig, we call that Tuesday.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, the advances. I know that weather forecasting is not perfect. However, I think they're pretty good at it now. I cannot believe Atlanta. This last little ice storm we had, storm. It literally froze Atlanta. I mean, you know, here I knew that it was coming a few days ahead. I could actually watch it on my web browser, for crying out loud, and see it coming. Could they not plan ahead a little bit better?
It's not the planning ahead. It's what you do once it hits. They don't have salt trucks and things like we do here. They don't have plows.
There was a school bus with kids stuck on the highway.
Yeah, they should have called off school.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They should have.
There were so many cars abandoned on the highway. It looked like an episode of Walking Dead.
It did.
I thought that was pretty cool. You could have filmed that day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, get the crew out there. Come. But
stock footage.
I'm just saying, you know, I know that we don't have that great of preparation for putting brine out or whatever and making sure the roads are all right. But because we don't have that much snowfall. However, there was no excuse to know it wasn't coming, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Yeah, you're true. Yeah,
so that was just amazing.
Yeah, Dave Slusher was IMing and emailing that day. He said, oh, there's a storm coming. If I lose power, you'll know why. You know, he's in South Carolina like you are.
Yep.
And
actually, I think it got a little bit more than warning. He may have gotten about the same or a little bit more than we did.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back with Remember When? Oh, we got some more Star Wars news. Woohoo! Some old stuff from the Soviet Union and a whole bunch of things in the Geek Library that you won't want to miss. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Take a facts-based journey through the cosmos with Astronomy Cast. Join me, Dr. Pamela Gay, and my co-host Fraser Cain, publisher of Universe Today, as we discuss not just what we know, but how we know it. Topics range from dark matter to why Pluto isn't a planet. Get your episodes today at astronomycast.com or look for us in iTunes.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong, Ensign Harry Kim from Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
All right, don't forget, every Sunday at 9:30 Eastern time, unless, you know, work interferes or...
Well, let's be clear, I'm here every week. Chuck just kind of shows up periodically.
Wait. What about Boy Scouts wearing you out to nothing?
Okay, we come most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time. It's taken a long time. Now think about this, people. We hit show 300 almost 3 years ago.
Yeah. Has it been that long?
Yes.
Wow.
March 11th. Look, okay. I got the thing like right here in this box next to me. Sarah already packed it up, took it off the wall. 2011. So my goal is to get us to show 400 before that 3-year anniversary. Time was when it only took us like half a year to do 100 shows. What happened?
Yeah, I know. Work happened.
Well, anyway, show up on Sunday night. Keep your eye on your Facebook and your IRC and your Twitter messages and Google Plus. We'll let you know when we're hanging out.
Hey, by the way,
do this with Google Plus Hangout.
What is our anniversary? How long have we been doing this now?
The official start of Technorama was May 1st, 2005.
Okay.
So we're coming up on our 9-year?
Yeah, 9.
For the show. And I just passed 9 for the whole kit and caboodle. So there's a lot of podcasters that are coming up on 10 years and they want to have some kind of crazy reunion. Or whether it's at Dragon Con or we all go out to Ontario or something. I'm watching some Facebook pages and there's some discussions.
I don't need to go to Ontario. But okay. Actually, yeah.
Have to have any convention. We're just going to hang out at the Marriott bar all day.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, did you see my comment? I said we should have called the podcasting group In and Out. Because it seems like everybody must have gone there. Because I know we did several times with all the other podcasters.
Well, I thought you were making a reference to pod fading, people who are no longer podcasting.
Well, see, it kind of goes both ways, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I knew we had a little bit of a connection with the In and Out, but in our group, you know, with Fit and, you know, those guys. Yeah.
And then you look and there's a picture on there with the LA podcasters and there's another picture of people I don't recognize.
I was like, wow, I think everybody seems to remember, oh, the In and Out. I'm like, really? Okay. Maybe it's more universal than I thought.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of universal, well, this isn't universal. This is
in a galaxy, Star Wars. Not far away.
No, who did Star Wars? It wasn't Paramount. Fox?
Lucasfilm.
Well, Lucasfilm, yes, I know that, but it's branded under
25th Fox. Fox.
Yeah. Okay, anyway.
They'll probably cancel it.
One of the original writers for Star Wars, the original film,
mm-hmm.
was, I'm getting down here so I can get the names, Lee Brackett. She did a lot of the screenplay for the first movie, and then she actually did a lot of the screenplay for the second movie. Well, the first one was just finishing up. But unfortunately, she passed away just after the screenplay was done in 1977. So there were a few things in that original screenplay that got changed along the way that may not have been, this is speculation, of course, what would have happened if she had survived and really fought for her storyline. So variations between what we all saw on the screen versus what actually she wrote in for Empire went something like this. Brackett's draft is essentially the basic plot of The Empire Strikes Back. The battle on Hoth, Luth going off to train with an old Jedi master, although it was originally screened as Minch. Remember, we've mentioned that, not Yoda.
I almost read Munich.
That's why you're not reading this, Mr. Greenwich. Do you like Greenwich eggs and ham? Han and Leia meeting up with Lando, who betrays them to Darth Vader so they can be used as bait to draw Luke into a trap.
All right, okay? So the basic skeleton's there.
Right. The major differences in Brackett's story are Han isn't captured. Luke doesn't lose a hand. Luke doesn't lend a hand. Let's give him a hand, everybody.
Let's give the Empire a hand.
Luke does have a twin sister, but it might not be Leia. And most importantly, not only is Vader not revealed to be Luke's father, but Luke actually gets to meet his father, or at least the spirit of him, during his training in Dagobah, originally called Bog World. There's a good name.
Okay.
In Brackett's version. So instead of, you know, talking to sparkly Obi-Wan, he's probably talking to sparkly dad.
You know, I'm actually down with most of that. Because if you think about, you know, Luke and Leia, you know, there was like an at least an implied love triangle kind of, you know, thing there.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe with Han a little bit at first, but I think Han was just messing with Luke. But anyway, so you got this love, little bit of love thing. Did somebody not go, ooh, that is weird? Because he, you know.
I don't know. I kind of like the way it did turn out. You know, it would have been odd having sort of this spur on the railroad of the storyline that here's his dad. Where did his dad come from? Where did his dad go?
Wait a minute.
How does Vader fit into that?
Wait a minute.
I kind of like it how,
mm-hmm.
well, you know, except for the prequels, how they actually got him there. But
well, look. All right. Of course, in Empire, they reveal that Luke and Leia are brother and sister, twin siblings. Well, at the beginning of Empire, she kisses him.
Right. For luck.
For luck is to... It's to make Han jealous or
but
just
he doesn't know at that point.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Don't you? Well, you know, he may not know, but as you know, if I was writing that, I would have known ahead of time. Okay, they're going to be twins. Looking at the outline, and you know, I would have never written in a kiss.
I think that was to sell it for the audience, maybe. So that it's more of a shock factor.
Maybe. I don't know. It just seems a little freaky. But, you know, I'm okay with it. Actually,
there's some good stuff on here. And keep reading the article that's in the show notes. And on the bottom, I have to throw this in.
Mm-hmm.
There's a nice link to one of their other articles. 12 glaring Star Wars prequel mistakes we hope J.J. Abrams doesn't make.
Okay.
And there's a lot of them, like having this convoluted storyline. Here's one of my favorites. It says, do not make the plot revolve around college-level knowledge of geopolitical trade tariffs. Quick, What's the catalyst that sets off the events of Star Wars prequels? If you said the Senate sent Jedi Knights to negotiate on behalf of Naboo because the Trade Federation set up a blockade around the planet to force Queen Amidala's hand by cutting off all the supplies supposedly to protest the taxation by the Galactic Republic, yeah, which was actually a smokescreen for Military Armored Trade Federation.
Yeah.
What?
Hey, I agree. That was a little complicated. I remember watching the first movie and I had to think about it for a while afterwards to go, oh, I get it.
I didn't even get it, man. That's not what I think of when I think of those movies.
The other thing, I have to agree with this one too, is don't kill off the cool characters in the first movie. Qui-Gon and Darth Maul.
Yep. Don't over-explain things that are better left as mysteries. Of all the Star Wars universe's invention, the Force, as it was originally explained, might just be the coolest. Right? A metaphysical energy that surrounds all living things. Harnessing the Force is what makes a Jedi a Jedi. And, best of all, actually understanding the Force was just barely out of the reach of most mortals like you and me, which, of course, just made it seem cooler. But then Episode 1 had to go and rationalize the Force on a biological level by introducing midichlorians, intelligent microscopic life forms that live inside cells and allow their host to sense and harvest the Force.
Yeah, that was crap. You know what? If there was anything to say this raped my childhood, that was it. Because I wanted a saber so bad when I was a kid. I could almost believe it and make it happen. You know, the Force, anybody can learn it. Luke went and learned it. But then he comes along, oh, the midichlorians, he's got a midichlorian count. Da, da, da. I'm like, what the heck? You just ruined everything I ever thought about since I was 10.
Go read the other 9 or 10 that we haven't talked about. I'm sure you'll enjoy them. That's a great link you scraped up there, Craig.
Yeah. Hey, by the way,
one of my favorites. Yeah, go ahead.
But I want to add this too. If you like, you know, like there were some mentioning of the alternate could have been Star Wars universe. I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but Dark Horse did a series of, it's a comic of Lucas's first pitch or first rough draft of Star Wars. They did it, literally. So the characters are different. The names are the same, but everything's in a different situation. And it was a fun read. Go check it out. Actually, I would have loved to have seen that as a movie or something. It's really good. You know, it's like Luke's a general. Anakin. I can't remember now. Chewbacca. Han Solo was an alien. You know, it was totally different than the way it is now. The names are the same, but the situations were all different. Well, great. The
names wouldn't be exactly the same because wasn't he Luke Skywalker?
Yeah, well, no, it was Skywalker in the thing. But no, it was good. Go check it out. You'll enjoy it. Promise you.
All right. Going back into the Remember When segment, we have friendly robots of the Soviet Union.
Let's do the robot.
Hey, how are you doing that?
Yeah.
Charles Shaw, in his upcoming appendix article, The Most Soviet Park in Russia, describes a 1959 guidebook to a Moscow park that captures the technological utopianism of the USSR under Khrushchev. A strange figure guarding the electrification park, Shaw writes, epitomized the new era. So there's a whole bunch of pictures and things in here. The official guidebook to the World's Fair. What?
Some videos, too, or at least one.
Oh, yeah, the 1939 Electro, the smoking robot video. You can find this on YouTube, but there's a link within this article.
I think we've seen this video before.
This is pathetic.
All right.
Using this telephone, you can talk to the robot, but yet he puts the telephone down for a while to have a conversation face to face.
The robot's got a big hole in his chest like Bender does.
So that's so you can see the light flashing when he's receiving commands. Tell the people your story, if you will, please. That last preposition was completely unneeded.
One
but
beep
okay.
for yes, two beeps for no.
So there's a nice video. There's also, I'm not sure what to make of this orange computer here. It looks like a PC Junior ate an Atari, ate a toaster.
That is a weird looking
computer. One of those old 80s 8-track players with the plunger handle on the top.
You mean you don't remember the ASIM?
I do not remember the ASIM. ASAM.
Yeah. You know what this? Hey, by the way, remember when we were in the Computer History Museum? We're walking through. You know, you've seen the old Commodore PETs and when we went to the visible storage, or is it visible storage? Yeah, visible storage, where they had the shelves and they were things they haven't put on display at all. They had some Commodore PETs. We're like, what the heck kind of configuration is that? The keyboard was all funky. Remember that? That's what this reminds me of.
Oh yeah, it kind of does. We did find Bender's Russian cousin in here.
Yeah.
The caption, it's this big robot outside a park, lots of people gathering around. It says, even robots like to drink in Soviet Russia. A babushka hands this futuristic looking robot from Kaliningrad what looks to be a pint of beer in 1969.
He's got no elbows. How's he going to?
Cosmonaut's helmet with a CCCP across the top.
He has no elbows, so he has to like pour it on himself.
And the hand that's just outside of the picture or behind this gentleman's head is probably holding a cigar as well.
I enjoyed your fermented beverage.
You're right. He doesn't have an elbow. How the heck is he going
to? Hey.
Poor guy in the back.
A big straw comes out, drinks it, and comes back.
Many other pictures. This one about the lady holding hands walking through the park with a robot is a little strange, but I'm keeping an open mind about it.
There's the first robosexual
robosexual
marriage.
This is a travesty. All right, and now I have a new idea for the Dragon Con parade, and that would be the last picture. Computers on parade in Erfurt, East Germany. The computers are not agates, but close. They're PCs from the same era by Samerda. They're dragging these wagons made out of wood with old computers on the back of them. So three women in white jumpsuits hauling a wagon with a computer. I think we could reproduce that, Craig.
Yeah, I think we could pull that off.
It might be easier than the robot Santa.
Well, actually, nowadays it might be hard to find a CRT.
No, I don't think so.
What is that?
We can always upgrade. Just put a laptop on there.
Is that an Osborne? What kind of computer is that?
That's not an Osborne.
No, I'm just kidding.
It almost looks like an old AT&T.
That's actually what I'm thinking of.
Kind of has that black and white
screen. Actually, the AT&T, at least the AT versions of AT&T's boxes, they were a little more squared. They weren't quite as wide and shallow that.
But hey, we need a computer.
Hey, by the way, that was a weird computer, the AT&T's PC, because you could flip it over and it had a cover on the bottom and to expose part of the...
To expose the motherboard.
Yeah, because they had this weird architecture to try and make the PC smaller. So they had a motherboard on the bottom, you flip it over, and then there's all the card slots. That was kind of neat. Anyway, I digress.
As we usually do.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, we should rename our show I Digress.
I Digress. New Apple product.
I Digress.
In the media corner, we have one person's attempt at mapping the internet. And this is really interesting. Have you gone to the website and zoomed in on this thing?
Not totally. I've looked at the image that was on the website. Let me go look at it now.
It's over at jsimons.deviantart.com, and there's a map of the internet. I'm not sure I completely agree with this, but whatever. There's like an entire continent with a section for Facebook and Yahoo and Bing and Twitter and LinkedIn and Google. And out in the ocean, they have things like the Gulf of Google.
We're in the Google Plus
Sea of
area.
Archives, the Where's Sea, the Database Ocean.
Hey, I'm never going to that Microsoft country.
Digital Ocean. But see, what was I looking at earlier that was nearby? Wow. I have to unzoom a little bit.
I'm looking for my domain name.
There's a island out here, or no, it was a piece of, is it the Microsoft continent?
I like how there's
should be all out on its own now.
I like how there's a BitTorrent island out there.
CNN is, oh, there's a whole news section, like BBC and CNN and Daily Mail and New York Times.
I think, there's the Mozilla province.
Blackberry Island must be getting smaller and smaller. And yeah. Down where Antarctica in the southern hemisphere.
Hey, the Blackberry one's sinking into the ocean.
CD-ROM Peninsula.
CD-ROM. Oh, boy.
Wouldn't you think the Pirate Bay would actually be a bay?
Yeah.
It's out on a peninsula.
Yeah, it should be in a bay.
Ooh, dude.
Hey, I give him credit. This is a nice looking map, though.
It does. It looks like one of those old... cartography things.
Here's what I do with all my spam. I send it to the spam ocean.
The innovation sea. And then on like Apple subcontinent, they've got like cities. You can see where AirDrop is and QuickTime. Plants versus Zombies. What?
Hey, go to the bottom where it says Great Southern Land and go to the very right of it. There's the C of 101010011010.
Oh, of course.
That's where we're at. We're somewhere over there.
The circumpolar data stream, CERN Island, X25 Wait, Island.
Are we in the C of 0101 or 0101?
Ah. So during the Super Bowl, there was a hashtag for a movie called Need for Speed.
Mm-hmm.
And the hashtag was hashtag NFS movie. I said, NFS? Is this a movie about network file sharing on a Unix file system?
Yeah, network file sharing.
So I put a nerd alert tag on there as well. So beautiful map if you want to go see. Lots of detail, lots of tags. Very well done in the artwork, although maybe not geographically accurate, but kind of fun to look at. A nice wallpaper, I think.
It is pretty cool.
Over on Mashable, are we still in the media corner?
No, not anymore.
No, we're now in the Geek Library. We're in the Geek Library. And, oh, this is a video that went around a couple weeks ago. If you haven't seen it, it's called A Conference Call in Real Life.
I had to put it in here because it's pretty accurate, actually.
Yeah, I can point out a couple things that would make it a little bit better, but it's pretty funny. You know, people are coming in the conference room in real life, but they announce themselves when they come in. And then they mysteriously disappear when they drop off, but the other people don't know they're gone.
I like the one where it goes
Bob again.
Yeah, I like the one where the guy just speaks up and goes, "Oh, you're here."
Yeah, at the end. Or the man's talking, his lips are moving, but you can't hear him. It's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I was on mute." At least once a day, somebody does that. I'm like, really? You don't know to check mute when you're talking?
Yeah. Yeah. I've done that before. I say something and I realize they're not hearing me, so I had to hit the mute button.
Right. You don't, well, just don't admit you're on mute or let somebody catch you and go, "Hey, Craig, are you on mute?"
No.
What really should have happened is they need a clock in here. So the guy sits down at about 5:02 to open up the conference bridge. And then they show the clock and it's 5 after and nobody's there yet.
Yeah.
So the first person shows up at about 5 after. And more accurately, people don't announce their names when they go in and out of the conference room anymore. Some systems will even prompt you, says, "Please state your name and press the hashtag." Well, they don't use it because what obviously happens every time is, says, "Please state your name after the tone and press the hashtag." So I go, "Chuck Tomasi," and I hit the hashtag. And then you get, boop,
yeah.
"Hello, who joined?" Like, why do I even bother?
Yeah.
Sometimes I just want to go, "Please state your name at the tone and then press the hashtag. I'm Batman."
Yeah. "My name is Chuck."
beep.
Yeah. I've gotten that a few times where people's name, I'm, and that's it. Oh, I'm.
That's my life every day.
Yeah.
I'm on conference calls just like this every day. You get the digitized voice.
Yeah.
The guy's talking and you can't understand him and they start breaking up. Yeah, it's pretty funny. So it's about 4 minutes long, maybe a little less.
You know what's worse, I think, is being on a call, and not necessarily a conference call, but like a call like this, and there's nothing but lag. So you got people, you know, talking over each other.
Yeah.
I think they even addressed that in the video too.
Oh, no, no, no. You know what they really need? Is they need some screen sharing just to up this thing one level. hang on. I have to download a plugin.
Yeah.
It's not working. Oh, wait, no, I'm on a Mac. This plugin won't work.
Can you send it again?
It's quarter after, and I still haven't got a screen share going. Yeah, that just happened this last week. That was fun.
A screen share.
Also in the Geek Library, we have a book sculpture, Smaug, emerging from the book Hobbit. So they took this paper mache, and they made a dragon head coming out of the innards of the book.
They tore up all those good papers.
They got a little paper Bilbo hiding behind the cover. It's kind of cute.
It is nice. It looks like it's emerging from the book itself.
Yeah, because the pages are kind of curled and peeling,
mm-hmm.
exploding out. So, yeah, this took some time. This is very creative. Although they destroyed a book in the process, which, you know.
Hey, I couldn't do it with the version I have. It's all digital.
How come the title of the book is Hobbiton?
I'm not sure. Maybe it's just
a different language.
I don't know. I recognize the cover.
Really close at some of the words on Smaug's face and see. Looking. I think it is. I think it's in. It's in some variant of Dutch, German, Finnish, or something, which is why the title is different. Because I don't see any English on his face.
Huh, okay, maybe
that answers that.
Yeah. There you go. Answer solved.
Very creative.
Hobbiton. That's what it's called.
I've been bitten by a hobbit.
Yeah. I'm going to turn into a hobbit.
And finally, oh, man. Van Cleef & Arpels has made my Dreamwatch, just not at the Dreamwatch price. This is a mechanical jeweled watch. That has the planets on it.
I know.
Very gorgeous.
You know what? I totally went looking for this thing, and then I turned around once I saw how much it cost.
About $245,000.
Yeah. And I thought, I would totally wear that. Oh, no, I won't.
Hand assembled. Yeah, I'd have to sell like two of my stock portfolios to get this thing going.
And mortgage the house. And man, it's amazing. Yeah,
no. Well, the sale we're going to get from this house won't cover that.
Hey, Donna, I got this great idea.
I'm buy a watch. You know that pebble thing? That was cool and all, but.
Yeah, forget that. This is totally cooler.
She'd probably agree to, let's not do that.
Yeah.
But I'll give you all the time in the world if you want to write a pebble app to do that.
Yeah. It is cool, though. The planets actually rotate in time. So you can see where Mercury is now. In an hour from now.
It's very thin. Very thin. That was the complicated part, is to make this thing so thin. And the planets themselves are made out of semi-precious stones, or precious and semi-precious stones, ranging from red jasper to serpentine and turquoise.
Hmm.
An even more extravagant addition is available with baguette-cut diamonds set into the bezel.
You know, I want the lower cost one, not the, that's don't go up.
It's available later in 2014. You want the lower cost one? We'll get an app on the Pebble that shows the little dots that move around like that too.
Oh, by the way, if you're using a Pebble, I know we're, like I said, I record this on Sunday. Monday is the expected release of the new updated software for it.
The 2.0?
Yes. With the App Store. With the App Store.
Oh, yeah. Are all the apps going to be supporting it?
I mean, like, well, right now you can kind of...
upgraded their apps to run on 2.0 yet?
Well, right now you can go... Yeah, there are some. You can go look around on the internet and you can find, like, there's a few websites that have, you know, things are, you know, I'm trying to think of the right word. I guess curated, I guess, is the best word. Anyway.
Sure.
So, but right now they'll have an official store where developers can put their stuff in one place.
Right.
And that's coming. The iOS, the OS 2.0 for it is coming. And there are some apps that do take care of that. Like, I think Runkeeper was looking for suggestions for some of the things you can do with their app. Because right now it's just really, it just shows the face. It changes the face. I think one of the things that they were doing was you can use the different buttons to change, you know, the data that you're looking at. Or
pause and resume or something.
Yeah, I can do pause and resume now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can do. You can do that with Runkeeper, but they make the other buttons do things. So, yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Alrighty, I'm going to watch for that. In the meantime, we're
you're going to watch here. For that? gotcha.
Got to go. We got to go. We are running out of time. Ew. No, I take that back. We are out of time.
Yeah.
So, we appreciate your support. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. Call us on the listener line. If you want to make one of those corrections to the pronunciation of a name, a birthday, a fact we've stated or misstated in our case, call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT, 206-222-2428. Email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. We're also on Twitter and Facebook and all that good stuff. We will keep your message. And if it's good, we will play it on the air.
Absolutely.
Or read it out loud. Unless you tell us not to, this is an opt-out kind of thing. All these links to our show notes and all that good, other good stuff is available on the website over at chuckchat.com. And it's that time of month where we thank our lovely listeners for their donations in the tip jar. Thank you very much. You make our lives much easier. Special thanks to Mad Marv, everyone who hung out with us tonight, those who joined in the hangout, and you downloading and listening. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama and give me a binary high five.
101, everybody.